Today's scripture is from Jeremiah 33:14-16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Okay. Can you put the focus statement up while Randy's preparing for the sermon? And maybe just a few comments here on the branch. It's dormant, but it's actually quite alive. I just cut it off yesterday. And I think this is a great picture of Advent and the branch of David not yet seeing its full fulfillment. And so in expectation, we, even in our winters, this winter, things might seem a bit dead in some ways, in whatever thing that is before us. But there is. Easter's coming. So, yeah, this is the beginning of the church calendar in Advent. I just think it's just such a neat progression from now until Easter. So, let's just immerse ourselves in it. And, I'm excited what Randy's going to bring us over the coming month and, months, I should say. So,
thanks, Claire.
All right.
And I saw in the, monthly newsletter that Dan started doing as care team leader that Advent is your family's favorite tradition. And I think I've seen that this morning coming through in the way you called us to worship and how powerful the season of Advent is in your own family. So thank you. Well, it's great to be back from sabbatical and gathered here with you all this morning at Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church. Doesn't feel like that long ago that you just prayed for Emily and I to go walk. It really doesn't feel that long at all. But it was a wonderful time away, and Emily and I do look forward to sharing stories about the Camino. Not going to do that this morning. I'm going to let Advent have its place this morning. But there will be a time to be determined in the future where we will share pictures and stories from our walk. But thank you for your prayers that sustained us while we were gone. And I give thanks to God for the way you all were sustained as well and grown over these past 3 months. I want to give a special thank you to the children and junior youth here at church that welcomed me back and surprised me with pictures and nice cards in my office when I came back. It was very nice. And we received a lot of cards as well from you all, and very grateful. So thank you. Well, while I was gone on sabbatical, the church lost a great spiritual hero in the Christian faith, Eugene Peterson. He wrote The Message. He's considered a pastor to the pastors for his wisdom in thinking about pastoral ministry, what healthy boundaries look like. Eugene Peterson would definitely encourage a sabbatical, and I am so grateful to Whitmer Heights for the way you blessed us with a sabbatical. But he has an amazing quote that I've been reflecting on quite a bit over sabbatical. And I'd just like to share that quote this morning kind of to remember Eugene Peterson as well. He says this kind of wisdom to pastors: the most important thing a pastor does, what do you think the most important thing a pastor does? Is stand in a pulpit every Sunday and say this: let us worship God. If that ceases to be the primary thing I do in terms of my energy, my imagination, and the way I structure my life, then I no longer function as a pastor. That really struck me for how simple it is, and yet how profoundly important and central it is to what it means for me to be a pastor. Let us worship God. In the routine of Sunday morning coming, in what we often just expect, we kind of go through the rhythms of our Sunday morning with Sunday school and our worship service and greeting one another. We can't take for granted what we are doing here at the center of it all. We worship God. So thank you, Claire, for bringing us into worship. Wes and Janelle for our worship through song, very powerfully. Eileen and the children for children's time. And everybody that is a part of this service behind the scenes. And you all that are here this morning. We worship God together. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask you to be near to us as we study this text in Jeremiah together. We pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us and inspire us and to grow us into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've been hearing, Advent is this time of waiting expectantly and watching. Centrally, it's this time to remember where Jesus enters the greatest story, God's story. And as Jesus enters God's story, there's an invitation again for Jesus to enter into our own lives. That's Advent. Expectant waiting for Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to enter this story that we call salvation history. Our theme this year, taken from the Leader magazine, and I'd like to thank Lori and the worship team. While I was gone, they kind of just took things and with Advent, and I really appreciate that with the beautiful visuals and everything. Thank you. And so we're using this theme from the Leader magazine and the worship committee, which is entitled "The Lord is Our Righteousness." And as we've already read with our focus statement, this first Sunday of Advent, we focus on waiting and watching with anticipation for the one who comes proclaiming righteousness in the name of the Lord. And then we ask together, how do we receive this righteousness? What does righteousness even mean? It's a word we need to unpack a little bit, because it comes with maybe a little bit of baggage maybe when we hear that word. And how do we live out faithfully what it means to be a righteous people? Waiting and watching for the one who comes proclaiming righteousness. Waiting and watching can be hard. And I've loved how we've been focusing on waiting this whole morning. Sunday school with Donna, thank you. With children's time and Claire and Wes and Janelle, your words. Especially in this fast-paced America, waiting is not easy. One of the examples that I thought of when I was back in high school or college, and there was a really hard exam that I had just taken, and you know you're getting that test back and you come into class and you're just feeling these nerves and how did I do? And then the teacher says, oh, I didn't get the exams graded. They're going to be coming back tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait another day. I want to know how I did. It's such a simple thing, but it's hard to wait. Shane is not here this morning, but if you ever ordered food at a restaurant with Shane Miller, you understand waiting at a completely different level. I was waiting 3 months to tell that joke, but on a serious note, we wait in this world in the midst of a lot of brokenness and pain, sorrow. We wait and we say, how long, O Lord? How long can this keep going on? Our story in the Bible today finds us with some people who are also waiting and watching. And they're also saying, how long, O Lord? Give us some good news. For Israel at this time, when the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to this people, they are in a very challenging and hopeless situation. So when Jeremiah speaks to these people, he's offering a message of hope at a time of great turmoil, a time when people fear for what the future will bring. See, Jeremiah speaks these words of hope because, quite frankly, it's a dire situation. Imagine an advancing army, and every day that you look into the news, you hear that this advancing army got one neighborhood closer to your own home. They just advanced another 5 miles, and they're coming directly towards us. And you keep hearing these reports of them wreaking havoc and advancing straight to your community, destroying people's lives and their homes, and eventually taking them captive back to their land. This is what it may have felt like for these people, because the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, were advancing on Jerusalem. The streets of Jerusalem would soon be filled with much loss and captivity. And the prophet Jeremiah himself will be imprisoned by King Zedekiah. We read that in 33:1. So here's this thing. We read these texts of hope and of hope coming into the future, but we can't miss that this is being spoken in a time of really utter despair in it, and the worst hasn't even happened yet. We live in a pretty privileged bubble here at Whitmer Heights. I'm speaking to myself, and it's frankly hard for us to grasp what that must have been like. But I wanted to remind us this morning that there are people maybe not very far removed from us, or maybe some people within our own congregation, who are experiencing devastating hardship and loss as well. And certainly around the world, and right here in the United States, not just Syria or Pakistan, but many other places as well, where armies are literally advancing and their homes could be destroyed and they will become refugees. It might not be that far removed from us. War, famine, injustice, housing insecurities, violence and shootings. We live in a lot of brokenness. So Jeremiah's words here are spoken with a word of hope, but not taken away from the hardship. So where is the hope? In the midst of this catastrophe, the prophet Jeremiah finally speaks words of promise and hope. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. God will be faithful. The house of David might be cut down, but God is able to bring life out of death. And we read in verse 15, a righteous branch will sprout from the line of David. A very similar image is found in Isaiah 11:1, which reads, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This image is one of hope and unexpected joy in the midst of something that looks absolutely hopeless, a dead stump, you might think. And Clara and Anna, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful visual this morning. Visuals capture the story in a way that words cannot capture. Because when you, as Claire said, when you would just look at this, you would very easily think it's dead. And that's exactly what was going on here in this story. But the word of hope here, the word of hope for all of us, is that a righteous branch, a shoot, shall come out from a stump. That stump represents the hopelessness that Israel may have been experiencing, or us. And the word of hope this Advent season is that a shoot is coming. A shoot is coming out of that presumably dead stump. The image is of one of hope and unexpected joy, even when you can't imagine it yet. It takes faith in Advent to believe something, a living shoot can come. At the center of all this is this phrase, the climax of it, the Lord is our righteousness. And I want to take a little bit of time to dig into what that might mean. Righteousness is a word used regularly through the Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments, and it's often a reference to the character of God. So we keep God the center here, and go back to Eugene Peterson. Worship God. So righteousness, first and foremost, is a characteristic of who God is. And it's which God gives to us. In this case of passages such as Jeremiah 33, it's also for us. But what does righteousness mean? Essentially, it's an ethical term that refers to the rightness of something or someone. So when we say that God is righteous, we mean that God is the ultimate example of what good looks and acts like. And so when Jeremiah shares this prophecy that God will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, he is assuring that the people that a Messiah will come, and that through this Messiah they will know what goodness and justice of the Lord looks like. In the Bible, righteousness is often paired with justice. You can't talk about righteousness without talking about justice. And so the message of these stories reflects the desire of God's people throughout history to receive justice. In the same way, God sent Jesus to the earth to show us, to bring salvation and show us how to make the ways of righteousness and justice reign on this earth. Another way to understand God's righteousness is an understanding of covenant faithfulness. When God created this world, and we know that there was brokenness, and shalom was broken, one way to understand the righteousness of God is God's covenant promise that in the midst of brokenness, God will put things back again. N.T. Wright uses the phrase cosmic restorative justice, this big picture God of what God is up to, and that the righteousness of God means that it's God's covenant promise that things will be made right again. See that word right and righteousness. God's covenant promise to all of us that in the midst of brokenness and pain that we are experiencing personally or in the world, God's covenant promise to us is that things will be made right again and there will be justice again. Yahweh God is not simply Israel's God, but the creator of the whole world. So when we read the Lord is our righteousness, it's a promise. It's a promise to all of us. It's not just a promise, though. It's a promise that we're going to be a part of it as well. And that's the invitation that God gives us. It's the invitation that God gave Israel. I am a righteous God, and I'm going to invite you to be a part of making things right. So if we are a part of making things right again, we ask this question, where do we go from here? We are invited, like the prophet Jeremiah, to also speak a word of hope, to also speak a word of promise in a world filled with uncertainty and despair. In this season of Advent and waiting and watching, like the prophet Jeremiah, we speak words of encouragement to one another. Light is about to break in. We have a righteous God that has not forgotten about us. And so I invite you this week to consider this question, maybe in your quiet time, or in your devotion with God. What does it mean for you to wait for God's reign of righteousness and justice in your own life? And what word of hope can you speak, like Jeremiah did, to encourage someone today? Or another way to think about that question, how can you offer a shoot, a branch to someone when maybe all they can see right now is a dead stump in their life? This is the invitation God gives us, to be a part of this story, to be a part of bringing Christ's light in the midst of what maybe feels like a dead stump. God's Spirit is with us in this journey. As we worship God this morning, as we get to know this God who is righteous and promises a Messiah, as we learn from this God, we are also formed in that righteous and just way of living. In our prayers, our singing, our reading of the Scripture, our sharing together, our joining in what God is doing, in our work for social justice in the community, as our work to be peacemakers, We worship God. And so in the spirit of the prophet Jeremiah and Eugene Peterson, I'm going to keep this simple. The Lord is our righteousness. Let us worship God. And I asked Wes and Janelle to lead us in O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. The history of this song is beautiful. It goes back maybe even to the 7th century. And that phrase, O come, O come, what a beautiful prayer this morning for all of us as we worship God. O come, God of righteousness, and bring your rightness to my brokenness. Bring rightness to the brokenness of the world. And how can I be a part of this? O come, and show me how I can encourage someone else. O come, God. Let's pray. This morning, Lord, I give you thanks. We give you thanks that you invite us to be a part of this story. This story where you promise to be a God that will not give up on us, and that you are a righteous God, covenant faithfulness, that promises rightness and justice. And you invite us, Lord. You invite us to join you. So I pray, God, this morning that we can do that. In the simplest things is giving a word of encouragement to a friend that maybe just needs a word of hope. Nudge us, Lord, how to do that. Thank you, God, that first and foremost, you've done that for us. O come, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing.